Welcome back to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we have an absolute earthquake of a story coming out of Google.
That's right. If you've been following the AI space, you know that Google DeepMind has been the crown jewel of Alphabet's research division. But today, the entire leadership structure of that unit is being fundamentally rewritten, and the market is already reacting.
We're going to break down Demis Hassabis stepping down as CEO of DeepMind, the massive brain drain accompanying that move, and what it signals for Google's strategy going forward. It is easily the biggest AI industry story of the month.
And for our second deep dive, we're shifting from the people building frontier models to the platforms trying to safely deploy them. Cloudflare just announced Cloudflare OS, an open source platform designed to let enterprise employees build AI micro apps without compromising internal security.
It's an ambitious swing at solving the AI data silo problem, spearheaded by a name that old school decentralized web fans will definitely recognize. We'll get into the architecture of their new gatekeepers framework and whether it actually prevents data leaks.
Plus, we've got a packed roundup today. We'll be looking at a fatal civilian plane crash in New Mexico that investigators are tying to military GPS jamming, a controversial police tracking case involving Flock license plate readers, and the latest developer friction points in Anthropic's Claude code.
It's a heavy news day, so let's not waste any time. Let's get right into the DeepMind shakeup.
According to a new report from Axios, Demis Hassabis is stepping down as the CEO of Google DeepMind. He's not leaving the company, but he is transitioning into a dual role as chairman of the unit and the chief scientist of Alphabet. Koray Kavuchkalu, who has been DeepMind's CTO, is stepping up to take over day-to-day operations as the senior vice president of Google DeepMind.
And if that was the only news, it would be significant enough. Hassabis has been the face of DeepMind since he co-founded it. But the real shockwave here is the talent exodus happening at the exact same time. Reuters is reporting that Jeff Dean, Google's longtime chief scientist, is leaving the company entirely. And he's not leaving alone. He is taking a cohort of absolute legends with him to launch a new startup called Discovery Loop. We are talking about Sanjay Gamawat, Oriol Vinyals, and Kwok Lay.
Let's just pause on those names for a second, because for anyone who doesn't track AI research history, that list is staggering. Jeff Dean and Sanjay Gamawat essentially invented the modern distributed computing paradigm. They co-authored the original MapReduce paper. Kwok Lay and Oriol Vinyals are foundational figures in deep learning and sequence-to-sequence models. Losing them all at once to a new startup is a generational brain drain for Google.
The market certainly recognized the severity of it. Alphabet shares fell 5% following the announcement of these leadership changes. Investors are clearly spooked. The question we have to ask is what this means for Google's AI strategy. Moving Hassabis to Alphabet chief scientist and putting Koray in charge of day-to-day operations feels like a definitive pivot away from blue sky research and toward aggressive product delivery.
I completely agree. Google has been under immense, unrelenting pressure from OpenAI and Anthropic. They have the compute, they have the data, but their ability to operationalize AI research into consumer and enterprise products has been clunky. By elevating Hassabis to a strategic, high-level role across all of Alphabet, they might be trying to force tighter integration between DeepMind's breakthroughs and Google's core commercial engines, like Search and Workspace.
But you have to wonder if that aggressive push to operationalize is exactly what drove Jeff Dean and the others out the door. These are researchers who are used to operating on a long time horizon. If the internal mandate has shifted to shipping incremental model updates every 3 months to keep up with OpenAI's release schedule, that changes the culture of a research lab entirely. Discovery Loop, this new startup they're forming, is likely a vehicle for them to get back to fundamental, unconstrained research without the pressure of defending Google's search monopoly.
It's the classic innovator's dilemma playing out in real time. But let's look at Koray Kavuchkalu taking over as SVP. As CTO, he's been intimately involved in the engineering architecture of the Gemini models. He knows how to build massive, scalable systems. If Google's goal is to turn DeepMind into an applied engineering powerhouse rather than a purely academic lab, he is arguably the exact right person for the job.
He is, but he's inheriting a deeply fractured organization. Remember, Google Brain and DeepMind were only recently merged to form Google DeepMind. There were already cultural frictions between those two camps.
Now, with the old guard of Google Brain leaving to form Discovery Loop, Corey has to unify whatever talent is left and keep them motivated, all while the stock price takes a hit and the press writes the Google is losing the AI war narrative.
And we have to keep an eye on Discovery Loop. When you have that concentration of talent, capital is going to flow to them like water. They will likely raise one of the largest seed rounds in Silicon Valley history, based purely on the founding team's resumes. Whether they are building a new foundation model, or focusing on agentic workflows, or something entirely different, they instantly become a major player in the AI ecosystem.
Exactly. Google's loss is the broader industry's gain in terms of competition. But for Alphabet shareholders, this 5% drop reflects a very real fear that the company's era of unquestioned AI dominance, built on the backs of researchers like Dean and Gemawat, has officially come to an end.
Moving from the foundational model layer to the application layer, Cloudflare just published a fascinating blog post announcing Cloudflare OS. This is an open-source platform designed to give employees an AI agent workspace that natively integrates with internal company systems. And apparently, they've been dogfooding this internally with thousands of their own employees since May of 2026.
What makes this really interesting is the person leading the architecture. Kenton Varda is a key figure on this project, and he's explicitly describing Cloudflare OS as a spiritual successor to his previous startup, Sandstorm.io. If you remember Sandstorm, it was this brilliant but maybe slightly ahead of its time platform for self-hosting decentralized web apps with extreme granular security sandboxing. Now he's rebuilt those core concepts on top of Cloudflare Workers.
The timing for this is perfect, because enterprise IT departments are currently terrified of AI agents. You have all these non-technical employees who want to use LLMs to vibe code, basically generating custom micro-apps or workflows on the fly. But if you give an AI agent access to your internal databases to build those apps, you risk massive data exfiltration, hallucinated permissions, or just accidental leaks of sensitive IP.
Right, which is exactly the problem Cloudflare OS claims to solve using a new security framework they call Gatekeepers. Gatekeeper sits between the AI agents, the micro-apps, and the internal corporate data. It applies strict guardrails to ensure that an agent can only access the specific context it has been explicitly granted by the user, and nothing more. It's essentially applying Cloudflare's zero-trust networking philosophy to the memory and context windows of large language models.
And because it's built on Cloudflare Workers, the isolation model is incredibly lightweight. Every little AI-generated app or agentic task runs in its own V8 isolate. This means you can have an employee spin up a custom AI workflow to parse, say, quarterly sales data, and the IT department doesn't have to spend 3 weeks auditing it, because the Gatekeeper framework mathematically prevents that isolate from calling out to an unauthorized external server or reading the HR database.
The stated goal here is to solve the silo problem. Right now, enterprise data is scattered across Salesforce, Jira, internal wikis, and Slack. AI agents are supposed to be the connective tissue that bridges those silos. But without a unified, secure operating system for those agents to live in, companies are just building fragile, custom API integrations that break every time a model updates. Cloudflare OS wants to be the default runtime environment for enterprise AI.
There is a catch, though, and it's something we always have to talk about with Cloudflare. They are open sourcing the platform, which is great for transparency and security auditing, but it is deeply, inextricably tied to Cloudflare's proprietary infrastructure stack. To run Cloudflare OS effectively, you need Cloudflare Workers, you need their zero-trust network access, you need their specific edge architecture. It's open source, but it's a very elegant form of vendor lock-in. That's the classic edge computing trade-off. You get incredible performance and out-of-the-box security compliance, but your switching costs become astronomical. Still, if you look at the landscape of enterprise AI orchestration right now, it's a mess of fragmented startups and heavy legacy enterprise software. Having a unified Sandstorm-style security model for AI agents is a huge step forward. If Gatekeepers works as advertised, it could finally unlock the ability for normal employees to safely deploy autonomous workflows at scale. All right, those are the big structural shifts in the industry today. But we have a few more critical stories to get through.
Let's pivot over to the roundup and hit some of the hardware, security, and developer updates making waves this week.
First up in the roundup, a deeply concerning report from Wired regarding a fatal civilian plane crash in New Mexico on May 14, 2026. A Beechcraft King Air medevac flight crashed into a mountain, killing all four people on board. The NTSB preliminary report has now confirmed that GPS interference was occurring in the area and affected the flight.
The interference is being tied to a U.S. military GPS jamming exercise called NAVFEST, which was active at the nearby White Sands missile range. While the NTSB hasn't issued a final probable cause, this marks the first time a fatal U.S. civilian crash has been linked to military electronic warfare testing. And the trend is alarming. Reported U.S. GPS disruption events have skyrocketed from just 4 in 2020 to 50 in 2024, with 40 more already in 2025.
It highlights a massive systemic conflict. The military absolutely needs to train in GPS-denied environments to prepare for modern conflicts. But modern civilian aviation is increasingly reliant on that exact same signal for terrain avoidance and instrument approaches. The FAA and the Department of Defense are going to have to fundamentally rethink their notification and airspace restriction protocols before this happens again.
Next, a story from 404 Media that is raising major Fourth Amendment questions. In April 2025, Wisconsin police used Flock Safety's network of automated license plate readers to track a man traveling between Wisconsin and Michigan. Police explicitly cited his frequent travel to Michigan, where marijuana is legal, as part of their probable cause to pull him over and search his car for cannabis.
What makes this particularly controversial is that internal police guidance documents instructed officers, quote, do not mention ALPR usage in their reports unless absolutely necessary. So they are using a massive, interconnected, warrantless AI camera network to establish pretextual travel patterns, and then intentionally hiding that surveillance method from defense attorneys.
Exactly. Flock's network is increasingly being used for free-form searches across state lines, allowing law enforcement to build a historical database of perfectly legal travel to justify future traffic stops. It blurs the line between targeted crime fighting and mass automated surveillance of everyday citizens. Finally, checking in on the developer ecosystem, there is an interesting new feature request on the Anthropic Claude Code GitHub repository. Issue 84235 is asking for a simple status toggle to mark chat sessions as complete. Because developers are now juggling so many concurrent AI coding sessions, they are losing track of what is finished and what is still in progress.
It sounds like a minor UI tweak, but it's actually a great indicator of how these tools are maturing. We've talked extensively on this show about Claude Code's growing pains, including that severe supply chain vulnerability in their GitHub Actions workflow a while back. But despite those security hurdles, developers are clearly transitioning from using AI for quick, one-off scripts to managing massive, long-running, multi-session engineering projects.
It really underscores that agentic AI is becoming standard enterprise productivity software. When your users are demanding robust project management features just to handle the sheer volume of work your AI is doing, you've crossed a major adoption threshold.
And that is going to wrap it up for today's briefing. From the top-level restructuring at Google down to the granular realities of AI agent workflows and GPS security, the landscape is shifting incredibly fast right now.
It certainly is. We will continue to track the fallout from the DeepMind executive departures and keep an eye on what Jeff Dean's new startup, Discovery Loop, actually ends up building.
As a reminder, we are here every single day to bring you the signal through the noise in tech and AI. Until tomorrow, thanks for listening to the NoraCast Tech Briefing.